Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 1, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, Yoga of Arjuna's Grief. And so far, we have discussed what's happening on the battlefield and what Arjuna saw when he decided to station his chariot right in the middle of the two armies and observe who are in the two armies. Before that, he was very enthusiastic, all fired up and ready to fight this war. Once he saw that on the other side, which he considered evil doers, there are also good people who are very dear to him. His grandfather, his teacher, his cousins, his friends. He saw that this war is not just clearly between good and evil. On the evil side, there are some good, and on the good side, there is some evil. And therefore, he is now confused. And he came to the conclusion that this war is not worth fighting. So we have seen his arguments. He lost all his enthusiasm, he lost all his strength, he's physically now not ready, his mental condition has created psychosomatic conditions where he cannot even stand. His Gandiv is falling from his hand, and now he is making his arguments to Krishna, to get Krishna's approval, that let's pack up and go home and forget about this war. So he made several arguments that we will be all committing sins by fighting this war and killing our elders and people whom we respect. There is no better outcome of this war. Then obviously he makes a point and said, those people on the other side who are evildoers, they are driven by their greed to get something which does not belong to them. And they are not seeing the consequences of this war because their mind have been overcome by greed. But we, the wise people, we the people who have the sanity and wisdom to see what is right and wrong, see clearly that there won't be any good coming out of this war, and we'll be destroying families, which will destroy the society, the values in the society, and there will be a chaos. Should we not give up and just go away? And let the evildoers do whatever they are doing, but very quietly, not creating more chaos by fighting this war. And Swamiji points out here the, how wrong this philosophy was, that the central theme of our culture is to have an active resistance to evil, not to succumb to evil, but at any cost to resist evil and to fight evil. So he continues and makes more arguments because he has yet to get Krishna's approval. Krishna hasn't said a word other than told him to look around and see how mighty warriors are on the other side as well. As we have seen, Krishna was trying to put Arjuna in his place. Before that was all driven by ego, that he is the greatest warrior, the archer of all time, and all he has to do is fight this war, win it, and everything will be right. Now Krishna has shown him the reality of his challenge. The challenge is not just to win the war, but to see it in its context of what the outcome would be, what the cost of this war would be, who will be destroyed, and how you will, after the war, will create an environment to make the society function as it should. We are seeing this in our modern day wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, that just winning that battle, winning the military war, has not solved any problem. So Krishna has been very, very careful in pointing this out to Arjuna. But Arjuna took a completely different turn, and he decided he does not want to fight this war. Just continue to bear injustice is as sinful as committing injustice. So active resistance is the path prescribed in our culture and in Bhagavad Gita. And we have seen in modern times, Gandhiji has very clearly understood this and put it in practice and proved to the world that active resistance will win in all situations. Whether you are fighting a mighty tyrant or a great army or a great emperors, active resistance by people is a very, very powerful weapon. So Arjuna, not understanding that yet, is continuing his arguments. And when we are misguided by our intellect, because our intellect has succumbed to our emotions, as we have seen before, that sometimes what we think is our inner voice is nothing but misguided intellect through our emotional response to the situation. We see someone who has done wrong and needs to be punished, but turns out that someone is our own relative. And we right away change our opinion about what needs to be done here, and we come up with ideas which are illogical, but then our intellect will support by providing false arguments. Let's say, well, it's okay, I'm not doing this because of the following reason. Well, I don't think we should punish this guy who is my son. He has done clearly wrong, but, well, boys are boys. Well, let's give him another chance without any punishment. And we know the consequences of such action. He will never learn what is right, and he will continue to do wrong things to a point that he will destroy himself. So, the wisdom is in it to see what is the right action to correct the wrong behavior. In this case, Arjuna is still misguided by his intellect, so he keeps coming up with arguments which he thinks is now so powerful, a logical argument, that Krishna has to agree that he is now making great sacrifice at the altar of peace, that he will be considered a hero by not fighting this war. So we have seen so far, he said, I do not see any good coming out of it, and therefore we the wise people should peacefully walk away from this war, because this war will destroy the family units. That was his master argument. In this war, the people will be killed, they will affect families. When the families are destroyed, society will be destroyed. And that is very true. As we have seen, family is the unit of any society. As long as the family values are intact, by keeping the families intact, society will function. Once you disrupt the family units, society just cannot function in its normal way. So it continues their argument and says, Kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharmaha sanatanaha dharmenaste kulam krishnam adharmo abhibhavati ut. Kulakshaye pranashyanti kula dharmaha. Kula dharmaha, family values. The way of living in a society that is preached in family, guided by the elders in the family to the youngers, teaching them how to live life. The younger generation will be in fear of not displeasing the older generation, will follow those values and follow their guidance. In time to come, they will understand these values are so important that they will teach to their own sons and daughters. So that's a kula dharma. In traditional way, kula dharma is also considered the spiritual rituals or religious rituals performed by families to propitiate the deities. And if there's no one to perform those rites and rituals, then there will not be any peace in the society. But as we understand from our point of view in modern time, is kula dharma is family value. The family values are important because it teaches people how to live in a civilized society. And if there is no family and a person has no control, he obviously is not going to learn his limits and he will live life of indecency. So Arjuna puts forward the argument we talked about, O Krishna, that this war will destroy families. Well, it does not end there. When you destroy families, the kula dharma will be destroyed. This kula dharma is sanatanaha. They are eternal. My ancestors, they developed kula dharma, family values, passed on to the generations after generations after generations. And it has become the values of my family. How we live, what we eat, what is right, what is wrong. Therefore, people ask me, Anil, how long have you been vegetarian? And I jokingly tell them that I think my family has been vegetarian for the last couple of thousand years. Because I can't think of anyone in my family going back who was not vegetarian. So obviously I can trace this to at least a couple of thousand years when people were vegetarian in my family as Brahmins. So I naturally have become vegetarian. Nobody has to teach me. I never had to make up my mind whether vegetarianism is good or not. Is it good for my health? Why am I vegetarian? It was just part of my family value that we are vegetarians. So that becomes so natural, ingrained into a person's life, that it takes no efforts. That's kula dharma. So Arjuna makes a point and says, all this labor done by our ancestors to establish kula dharma will be destroyed when we destroy families. These are eternal values, came from time immemorial from our ancestors. Dharme naste kulam krishnam adharmo abhibhavati ut. And once the dharma, the values are destroyed in the family, O Krishna, this adharma will prevail. The impiety, the lawlessness will prevail in the society. Society will be overwhelmed by lawlessness because no one really knows how to behave appropriately. He thinks that this is such a strong and logical argument that Krishna, who was the champion of Aryan culture, will definitely agree that let's not fight this war. But he's still not seeing any reaction for Krishna, which he can see that he's agreeing to his argument. So he continues. Adharma abhibhavat Krishna pradyushanti kulastriyah strishu dushta suvarsneya jayate varnasankara. Powerful argument, at least from his point of view in that culture. The culture was so obsessed with purity of people that they wanted to make sure that there is no admixture of races. We can take an historical view and say that the Aryans were so obsessed with the purity of their race that they did not want any un-Arya to be mixed with Aryan race. Varna, the word Varna means color. Maybe in the very, very, very olden days, when the Aryan first came to India, they were fair complexioned, and the people who were not Aryans were a dark complexion. So society was clearly divided by two people, white-skinned Aryans and dark-skinned local people. And they wanted to keep this purity of the races. The more modern view, as Swamiji proposed, is that Varna means the intellectual texture, the color of one's mental makeup. In any given society, there are various types of people, generally classified in four types. The people who are scholarly and their interest in learning and teaching. People who are warrior type, fighter type, leader types. They are the kings and the generals and the protectors of the society. Then the people who are wealth creators and workers, they are the vaishyas, the commoners, and then the labor class. So, even there, admixture in society, even in modern society, we don't prefer. A doctor's son comes to his parents and says, I want to marry someone who has the background of being a laborer. You obviously will feel uncomfortable and saying, we are not compatible with each other. They will not feel comfortable with us and we will not feel comfortable with them. Therefore, it will be a mismatch. Now, in modern society, we just cannot be driven by such argument. However, it still is a very common argument that I hear when it comes to making any type of marital connections. So Arjuna finds that that's probably the strongest argument he can make to get Krishna's approval. So he continues, says, Adharma abhibhavat Krishna. Once the lawlessness prevails in the society, once the impiety prevails in the society, pradishanti kulastriyaha, that will corrupt the women in the family. Because the women will be without any protection, without any support. In that society, the women were completely dependent on men for economical and physical support. So, if there are no men and there is lawlessness, there are no family units, they will corrupt women because they have no support. They have no way of continuing living, which is rightfully. Strishu dushta suvarsneya jayate varnasankaraha. And when women gets corrupted in the society, they will be admixture of races. Admixture of people, Varna Sankara, cross-breeding. So he's putting for an argument that the society is so carefully devised and functioning properly because different types of people are doing their own job, which is in line with their temperament, their dharma. Our culture propagates that everyone should follow his or her own swadharma. We should do what is our own nature. And when that is not possible, even though I am artistic by nature, but the demands of the situation or demands of the society that, no, I have to pursue something else, it will create lots of tension and failures. So that's one way of seeing varna sankara, admixtures. When someone who is not capable of doing something is forced to do something else. A doctor, as Swamiji points out, is put in charge of a factory. A factory manager is forced to create arts. Now, those things, in our own society, we can see how it can create chaos. From Arjuna's point of view, when there's admixture of races, where the people who are doing different things in the society and were kept in their own position are now getting mixed because of lawlessness in the society. So he thought this got to be a clear and powerful argument. So he continues, Sankaro narkaya eva kulagnanam kulasyacha patanti pitaro hi esham lupta pindo udaka kriyaha. Once that ladder of fall starts, that we have destroyed the families, family values are destroyed, there are no cultural protections to women. So now women are corrupt, and women are corrupt has created an admixture of society, so they have no traditions. We look at it and say, even in modern day we have seen a Gujarati boy marrying to Tamilian girl. And now they have conflict. The boy will say, our family we do this way. And the girl will say, but no, our family we do this way. So the wise people, they create their own tradition. They say, okay, we have a combination of a Gujarati and Tamilian way of performing whatever the religious rituals or traditions in our family. But if not, there will be conflicts. And then they will say, okay, well, let's not do anything anyway. So they will not know traditions. So he makes their argument and said, Sankaro narkayeva kulagnanam kulasyacha. And therefore, the person who is responsible to destroy the family unit, he will go to hell. He will lead the slayer of the family to hell. Patanti pitarohi esham lupta pinda udaka kriyaha. The traditional ritual of Shraddha. In Hindu society, it is expected that when a person dies, his descendants, his sons, will offer Shraddha on that particular day when the Shraddha is to be performed for the ancestors. They will offer the pinda, a rice ball, and udaka, water. This is something we can look at it as our gratefulness we offer to our ancestors, that they worked so hard to create the society which has laws and which has values, that guides us to live life peacefully. So we thank them. It's like in the United States, we give credit to the founders of this nation, that they constituted this country and the laws and constitution that guides people to prosper and live and pursue life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Now that's our gratefulness that we show every year on Independence Day. In Hindu society, the children or the sons and daughters, they offer this Shraddha to ancestors. And assuming very poetically that those ancestors and seeing from the heavens that how their labors in forming the society have bore fruits. So now the society is growing and flourishing, and that makes them feel good. So that they will be without that offering, the Shraddha. Dose hai ete hai kulagnanam varna sankara karakaihi utsadyante jati dharmaha kula dharmascha shashvataha. By this evil deeds of the destroyers of the family, which cause confusion of castes. The word caste is very confusing to us, because in modern day we have tried to stay away from the traditional caste system. It's no longer lawful to practice discrimination because of the caste. Untouchability. All these things were related to caste system, but we have come to the conclusion that that was not the right thing to do. So Arjuna makes an argument here that it will create confusion of castes. Now, we can imagine that in those days, 3,500 years ago, the castes were more fluid and were more driven by people's capacity. So the people who were capable of learning and teaching, they were brahmanas. People who were capable of governing and fighting and protecting, they were kshatriyas. People who are capable of creating wealth were vaishyas, and people who were capable of serving the society with their labor, they were laborers. But because now we have taken the protection from these women away, now they are intermingling with castes which are incompatible. And therefore now the new generation which is created are Varnasankara, are without any merits. And Arjuna makes an argument that the eternal religious rights of the caste and the family are destroyed. That by this chaos created by this war, families will be destroyed, women will get corrupt, admixture of caste will be created, and therefore the traditions of each caste, that a Brahmin son gets the background of learning and teaching right from his childhood. So they have created their own values in that caste. That will be destroyed. And also the individual family's values are destroyed. So you see, these are eternal values established by our ancestors. They will all be destroyed just by this foolish act of fighting this war. And he is obviously hoping that this is such a powerful argument that not only we are going to destroy my cousins and my grandfathers, but now it will have very wide effect on the society. This will destroy the whole society, and therefore we should not be fighting the war. We will stop right here and see whether Krishna listens to his argument.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.